In all military conflicts throughout history until the present day, men have been required to sacrifice their lives to protect nations and ideologies. The strength of a nation is measured by how many men are under arms and ready to fight and die. If the strength of a nation was measured by how many women were willing to lay down their lives, it wouldn't remain a nation for very long. In World War I, over 20 million men died on battlefields, and another 20 million were crippled, maimed, or otherwise wounded. Zero women. In World War II, over 25 million men were killed in battle. Zero women. Vietnam, 58,190 American men, 8 women. Falklands, 255 British men, 0 women. And these men were sent to die by Margaret Thatcher, a woman. How could a woman send only men to their deaths? Could you imagine Prime Minister Gordon Brown sending exclusively women to their deaths? What would we say about the treatment of women in our society if that were true? Gulf War 1, 148 dead American men, 24 dead British men, 0 women. Iraq invasion, 3,810 American men killed, 91 women. When women die in war zones, it's rarely from enemy action. It's mostly from accidents and illness. When men die, it's overwhelmingly from direct violence. But when the media speaks of females at war in Iraq, they don't mention how strange it is that although women account for 15% of all military personnel in Iraq, they account for only 2% of the casualties. When the percentages of women in the boardroom is low, women complain. When the percentages of women in parliament is low, women complain.
Why are women not complaining about the percentage of women coming back dead?
Millions of men were forced to fight in World War I. What were women forced to do? If a man refused to be conscripted, he was jailed. What were women jailed for? If a World War I soldier refused to follow orders, he was executed. What were women executed for? Yet women like to believe that the early 1900s was near the height of female oppression.
Of the 20 million men that died on the battlefields of World War I, about 1 million British men were among them.
Approximately 250,000 of the British men fighting on the Somme were 14 and 15 years old, too young for conscription, which was at 17. But these boys volunteered and were accepted by the draft sergeants, even though they knew the boys to be underage.
Indeed, the youngest British boy to die in action was 14 years of age.
14-year-old girls didn't volunteer. 17-year-old girls were not conscripted. In fact, no females at all were risking their lives during these times of the woeful oppression of women. Somewhat surprisingly, considering the campaigns for women's voting rights, there's no record of women turning up at the army recruitment stations demanding the equal right to join up. During World War II, women had two principal concerns: how much chocolate there were rationed, and when nylon stockings would be back in the shops.
Off with the stockings, girls. They're due for the discard, and the war effort needs them.
Men had two slightly different concerns: whether they'd make it through battle alive, and if they did, how many body parts would be intact. The same concerns hold true for fighting men today. But our media seems a lot more concerned with the female experience in Iraq. For example, apparently men are making life difficult for women with sexual harassment and worse. The fact that the overwhelming number of casualties are men is ignored. The fact that the presence of inadequate female soldiers endangers men is ignored. The fact that women receive the same pay as men without anything like the same risk is ignored. The fact that women officers can order men into battle without ever having faced a bullet themselves is ignored.
All of this is ignored in favour of painting men as animals and women as brave flowers struggling to survive the dangers of Iraq.
This woman, an advisor to government, thinks that women suffer the worst casualties in war. It's a sign of our times how women can claim absolutely anything about their supposed suffering, no matter how nonsensical, and never be called on it. In the UK, we have a volunteer army at present, but if we didn't, men would be conscripted, because all nations must maintain armed forces.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? You, Lieutenant Weinberg?
At 108, he's one of only 20 surviving veterans of World War I. His feelings about it are still vivid.
mixed feelings. Emotional, when you see so many men who've given so much. It bears as war is. Anybody that's been to war, they don't want it again. But when it comes to the suspicion, they would do it again, if it's necessary.
So was he a gung-ho young man? Did he itch to go and fight a war and kill people and risk death? Yet he still says he'd do it again if necessary. What strength of character must you have? What nobility do you need to possess to consider doing something again that has the ability to make you cry 90 years after the event? Only men are like this. Yet for some reason, when these war dead are commemorated on Armistice Day, the words women and servicewomen are very prevalent when ministers, royalty and media speak about the sacrifice of our soldiers.
Each one representing a British or Commonwealth serviceman or woman.
I know we're a popular memory of servicemen and women who've lost their lives.
With memorials to 1,700,000 men and women of Britain and the Commonwealth.
British and American servicemen and women who have laid down their lives.
Meanwhile, the men that died are rarely referred to as men, but are instead soldiers, casualties, veterans and people.
I suppose this cemetery at Bayeux is one of the best known and the most visited, near the beaches where the D-Day landings took place in Normandy. 4,000 dead here.
See what is almost a generation of people buried in this one site.
We will remember them.
5.5 million British soldiers fought in the First World War. Today, only a handful remain.
It's a travesty that the word men is avoided when honouring the millions of war dead who are exclusively male. And it pisses on the graves of truly brave and noble men when women are mentioned in the same breath as men when talking of sacrifice in war. Women do die in war zones, but this occurs despite the best efforts of the military to keep them safe from harm. It's only men that are put directly in harm's way. So whilst I'm not belittling the deaths of these women, it must be acknowledged that the risks to men in combat zones are orders of magnitude greater, and the numbers of men killed are orders of magnitude greater. When Prince Charles told the story of bravery and sacrifice in the war, he passes over any mention of the myriad ways in which 25 million men met their deaths, and instead chooses to focus on how a few women were killed.
I wish to say that the conduct of all the girls was most courageous. They all knew what was going to happen to them, but no one panicked. They just marched ahead with their chins up.
These same people will not say men and women when speaking about domestic violence or child abuse, for example, where statistics are at least even. But when female war dead amounts to approximately 0% of all war dead, commentators go out of their way to speak of brave women.
Thousands of servicemen and women are still being sent
to save the men and women who are out there fighting a war that is about capitalism.
I dispute the mention of women in these broadcasts. Women have not proven themselves brave. Women in the military cannot be compared to men.
There's no need for that, sir.
Eagle,
your boys don't get that chopper in 4 hours. Our boys go in and blow it away.
Our boys, Captain, include women, one of whom has already given her life on this mission.
I'm sorry, ma'am. It's just a figure of speech.
Eagle Patrol, that aimed at sport. But it's the pattern of female behaviour to want recognition for very little.
Women want to claim equality with men in the discussion of death in war, whilst leaving the actual dying almost exclusively to men.
This is the only Second World War cemetery here in England. In this cemetery, we have 3,812 that are buried. And on the Wall of Missing, which is right behind me, we have 5,126 names on the Wall of Missing. Majority of the that are buried here were actually stationed here in England and flying missions to the continent area. And we do have infantry that are also buried here, but they were here mainly from casualties, mainly from being interned at the hospitals here, and probably died while they were being treated for wounds.
could you give an idea of the proportions of men and women that are buried here, the servicemen and women, or what are the numbers?
Well, the women that are they're buried here are 13, and the rest are all, you know, they're connected with the Red Cross.
So how would the Red Cross have died during this period?
Accidents mostly, and in relationship to the war, I would say mostly by accidents.